Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Synlait conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Leon Clement, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining this morning's call. Leon Clement here, CEO of Synlait Milk, and I'm joined by Nigel Greenwood, our CFO, and Hannah Lynch is also here, our Corporate Affairs Manager. Look, we thought following this morning's guidance update, it would be helpful if we just have a short call and take some questions after that. I'll make some opening remarks and cover the guidance outlook in a bit more detail and provide some context there. But I do want to remind you that we are yet to release our half-year results. That occurs on Thursday the 19th of March. Today's call is really designed to give you some context to the changes in our outlook, and a full business update will be provided next month. So the headline for the earnings guidance update this morning is that we now expect our full-year earnings in 2020 to be between $70 million and $85 million NPAT, or net profit after tax. Just a reminder of what we previously announced in terms of guidance at the start of this financial year was that we expected our FY20 outlook on earnings to grow at about the same rate that they did of FY19 over 18. And to decode that, that broadly means a roughly 10% growth on circa $82 million, which we did last year. So that's kind of the change in our overall outlook for context. And just to give you some sense of the key changes sitting behind our full-year outlook, and then I'll give some context to the softer half-year that we're expecting as well. Three main reasons behind our earnings outlook for the full year: lower infant-based powder sales, lower lactoferrin pricing, and some softening in what we expected around infant nutrition or finished infant formula sales. Although we are expecting still strong growth in that sector, it's slightly lower than we expected. So just going through each of those in a bit more detail, and I guess the context here specifically on the main, one of the main drivers is these base powder sales that we've seen drop away. Look, broadly the context there is that we are seeing a softening and contraction of the infant nutrition industry, particularly in China, on the back of lower birth rates and a regulatory environment that is forcing faster consolidation, particularly in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 players. Now, that customer base that was broadly blending and canning operators standalone either haven't received registrations or are being part of that consolidation. We're a large part of our customer base for base powder sales. And what we expected in that subcategory where we have reasonable margin and useful overhead recoveries for our plants and facilities, we're not seeing the growth that we expected in that sector. The second reason is around lactoferrin pricing. We were reasonable at the start of the year of our expectations there. We did not expect the strong pricing we saw in FY19 to continue. However, prices have dropped in lactoferrin faster and lower than we expected, and that's having an impact. And on the consumer packaged infant formula sales, we are, as I said, seeing strong growth there. I want to be explicit that A2's contribution to that growth has not changed from our expectations. However, we did have expectations that some new opportunities and potentially our brand registrations for Bright and New Hope may contribute this year, and that's no longer the case. So it's contributed to a revision of our guidance. So that's the summary on the full year. Just taking you through where we expect our half-year performance to land, and I think it's prudent to provide you a heads up on this. We're expecting our half year to land somewhere between 26.5 and 28.5 million. Just as a reference to last year, we did 37.3 in our first half. And the main reasons for why that performance is different half on half is, as expected, we've got much higher interest, manufacturing and SG&A costs associated with our new facilities in Pōkeno and the liquid dairy facility. As I mentioned before, the base powder sales are having an impact on this half versus the same period last year. And in addition, our performance of our ingredients premiums have been lower than last year, mostly due to sales phasing and product mix impact. So look, I'd just like to come back up. Those are the kind of main reasons and core part of the announcement. But if I stand back and look at the wider context here, we set out as a business with a goal this year to make sure that we were delivering on investing in the medium and long-term future of Synlait, which included both investing in our core business and diversifying for the future. But we also said that whilst we're investing, we'll grow earnings at the same time. And we're really pleased with the facility and the capability that we've now established. And it's set us up well for those medium and long-term outlooks, and we're really pleased with the progress that we're making there. Unfortunately, growing earnings in the context of this investment now looks unlikely, and that's in part because of the softening of the infant nutrition market, which we had seen an opportunity to continue to build a diversified portfolio of both customer and market opportunities to support our investment. And that softening has meant we're unable to grow earnings at the same time. Also with lactoferrin dropping away. And thirdly, we are seeing the emergence of some global uncertainty with coronavirus, making us just think a little bit conservatively about how we're tracking. But look, I would like to stress that with our investment profile and given the softening in our core business, I think it really does validate our strategy to diversify and to look at other areas, and I'm really excited about our medium to long-term outlook and the progress we're making in everyday dairy and some of our food service opportunities as we explore strategies there. Just a little bit more on coronavirus. That has had some influence on the range that we've provided. We are not seeing any material short-term impact on our financial performance in connection with the outbreak. But we do acknowledge that it represents some downside risk for us going forward, and so it has influenced the way that we've considered the lower end of our range, and it's perhaps a little wider than it would have otherwise been. We take the safety of our products and our people extremely seriously, and we're really focused on making sure that we focus on that aspect first around this outbreak. But we're also monitoring the situation around some of the early signals of potential supply chain disruption and how that may impact our position. If that changes, we will update the market once we are a bit clear on it, but that's how that's impacting our overall outlook statement today. So look, I'll leave the introductory statements to that. I hope that gives you a little more context around the outlook statement we've released this morning, and we'll now open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before asking your question. Your first question today comes from Ari Decker with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Just around base, I think you did about 7,000 tonnes last year. Are you expecting that to be lower this year?
The answer to that question, Ari, is yes, we do. We actually had initially anticipated, and I think we mentioned this in our annual results presentation pack, we anticipated an element of increase in our overall IFB sales year on year. But they will now be lower than last year's IFB sales.
Substantially?
Yes.
As a result of those factors we described, Ari.
Sure. Just on lactoferrin, I mean, 13.3 million gross margin, obviously the pricing was really strong. I mean, if I look at my own forecast for that, I had lower gross margin dollar contribution, you know, despite increasing volumes, probably sounds consistent with what you guys would have been factoring in. How much lower in the guidance are you now allowing for dollars gross margin on lactoferrin substantial also, or are you looking at something, you know, a touch lower in dollars than you achieved in FY19?
Well, without necessarily going into that, you know, specifically answering that question in detail, I guess another way of looking at it is this. In our initial FY20 expectations around performance of the lactoferrin and the pricing of the lactoferrin, and therefore the margins we expected to achieve in lactoferrin in our view of our full year forecast for the year, we obviously anticipated that whilst we did say pricing would likely soften over the year, we assumed that it would hold relatively strongly for the first half and soften in the second. What we've seen is the softening occur much faster than we anticipated. And as a consequence, our initial forecast of expectations around overall gross margins for lactoferrin for the full year will be a lot lower than we anticipated, which has been a contributor to this update today. I'm not necessarily comparing it to last year's gross margin per tonne, but just rather saying what we anticipated that we would achieve in this financial year.
Sure. And just very quickly, liquid milk profitability, that obviously didn't go so well, you know, out of commissioning. Is on the contract that you do have now, are you actually, you know, generating positive gross margin out of that?
Yeah, I think, Ari, we indicated in FY19 result that that was a factor. And I think we've also signaled in recent updates that we're broadly on top of that and it's now stabilized, but we can give you more context in our business update at half year results on that.
Sure. Now, subsequent to the guidance you provided in September, you announced, you know, a renegotiation, an extension of the A2 contract in November. You know, obviously, you know, the volumes there, you're not saying that there's any impact there. There wasn't a lot factored in for volumes by you or the rest of the market on finished IF, you know, given, you know, you're still waiting for registrations and then the ramp up would likely be slow. At what point does the new pricing, if any, and you know, you can comment on that, come into effect associated with the renegotiated or extended A2 contract that you signed in November?
Well, I know you're inviting us to comment on it, Ari, but we don't comment on the pricing or the timing of it accordingly. So I think you can assume that what we shared around the update of that agreement, we were comfortable with where we landed, you'll see that translate and result as we go forward. But we don't disclose pricing or margins with our core partner.
Just before I come back to that, how much was the bottom end of the range influenced by the coronavirus? Like, if you put that aside, what would the range have been?
Look, I think it's fair to say there's 4 to 5 million in that. There's just a bit of uncertainty around how it might translate. There could be some positives as well, but we just thought it was prudent to widen our range at this stage until we see how things move forward.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the thing that I'm struggling with is that, you know, if that range then is 75 to 85 circa and the market's sort of in the low 90s based on your guidance, you are attributing quite a big swing in profitability to, you know, what looks like, you know, a bit less base infant formula. You're not willing to comment on the impact of the gross margin on lactoferrin, but you know, presumably, you know, and you've always talked about it, you expected more capacity to come on board and you knew that it was very high price and something that is, you know, pretty volatile. So, I mean, I guess that you have so much profitability associated with your finished infant formula business in A2, you know, at the moment and in future forecasts. And, you know, really, I guess, you know, the market's going to be looking for some sort of guidance. You know, I think whether it's today or at some point on just what these annual renegotiations of the A2 contract mean for what, like I said, is, you know, a very substantial profit pool. You know, in that context, is there, you know, anything that you're willing to say?
Not at this stage, Ari. I think we can come back to that as part of our normal business updates, and you know, we'll continue to maintain our position that we won't be commenting on what is obviously a confidential arrangement. So I think the dynamic that you're asking for is going to remain as it has been over the years.
And last question for me then. Yeah, last question. You've talked about, you know, I guess a softening of the infant formula market, you know, in terms of how quickly maybe I'm reading into it, perhaps, you know, that Pokeno will ramp up beyond ingredients. Obviously, there's some references to the liquid milk plant, obviously having a lot of surplus capacity. You know, are you at the point yet where you're looking, you know, there's obviously a substantial cost base, you know, being built into the business around some of these growth initiatives. Are you looking at costs yet in terms of, you know, as you sort of think about how quickly you'll be able to utilise that capacity for higher value stuff?
Yeah, look, actually, I mean, I think I probably want to answer that question, but also look back to perhaps provide a slightly different context to your assertion that potentially there's some downgrade coming because of margin dilution here. I think it's important that the market understand the dynamic in our business overall. What we're seeing here is as I said, we've invested significantly in new capacity and capability. That is having an impact on our overall cost to run the business, but giving us new medium and long-term opportunities. So even as our core business grows around infant nutrition, we're simply not able to stay ahead of that curve. And the reason that we're using these factors of IFB, lactoferrin, as key drivers for the revision and guidance is because they were propping up those costs. So I think it's important that that's the dynamic that we're talking to around the moderation of earnings, as opposed to any change in the dynamic with our relationship with A2, which we continue to see really positively and are excited about and continues to track well. So it's really important that that's understood. I think that to your comment on these facilities, you know, the IFB sales that we had expected were a key part of how we were going to be commissioning and transitioning for the Pokeno site. So having that come off last year's level means that we don't have an opportunity to recover the costs associated with that. But I do believe it's a moderation down, and we'll continue to work on filling those facilities and leveraging the new capacity that we've built. So I think, Ari, we might clip you off there just in interest of time, if that's okay.
No, thank you.
Go to another question. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chelsea Leadbitter with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. I guess maybe extending on a couple of those questions there and some of your comments around infant base, can you give us maybe a little bit of an understanding? I kind of get what you're talking to this year with the material step down, but maybe a bit further out, how you're thinking about the outlook there in terms of that base powder, I guess, growth, or is this a new base level for infant base, or
yeah,
is it should we expect another level of contraction here?
Yeah, thanks, Chelsea. I think that's a really good question to, and there is perhaps a shift in our own thinking that's important to understand. I mean, we've seen birth rates in China now at 60-year lows. They're at 14.5 million babies, coming well off a much higher rate than that. And that's having that combined with the consolidation driven by regulatory factors in the sector is driving a large portion of our IFB decline. We had two sets of customers to say that we sold to in that group. The first was kind of tier two and tier three players that was independent blending and canning operators. Some of them had registration, some of them didn't, but they were smaller players, and they're either consolidating up or they haven't got registrations and that demand's dried up. We've also seen the main players who are experiencing their own consolidation and challenges, where we had sales to some of the tier one multinationals for that sector. Their demand has dried up because they're sucking some of their own production back into their own facilities. So actually, I think this is signalling a moderation of the category within infant nutrition. Having said that, I think there's still a huge opportunity here in a large pool of margin pool that we can extract and be beneficial for. I think we're expecting and looking to see quite significant consolidation in the industry, but that also means that fewer players will win. And we're really pleased with the investment that we've made in our integrated end-to-end manufacturing, the A2 registration that we own, and the partnership that we have with A2, being part of a bigger play there, and potentially a higher market share position, and albeit a slightly moderated category, still represents a strong opportunity for us. So I guess the change in terms of our thinking is that we're perhaps not as confident in building a more diversified business within the infant nutrition category, but it really does focus us on the need to build a more diversified business in other categories, and I think validates the investments we're making in other areas. So I hope that helps answer your question, but I think it's helpful to understand that.
Yeah, that's helpful. And I guess just to be a bit clear then, in terms of this year in particular and what you're expecting on infant base, which I'm guessing you're not going to give us clarity on, but if you can, that would be great. But is there some in this year associated with some of these other customers that might not be there in FY21?
Yes, I think that we are projecting a that category of IFB sales at this stage to soften and to be a smaller part of our portfolio. Having said that, we're still chasing opportunities in that space because it's obviously a useful prop up for us.
Another way of thinking about it, Chelsea, Nigel here, is that we've signalled today that there's been a substantial drop in the volume of IFB sales that we anticipate in this financial year. What that would mean as far as 21 is concerned with those existing customer base, if in fact it were to even drop further, it's almost no longer a material contributor to our business because of the volume that's there. So there's not, I wouldn't get too concerned about making another large adjustment for FY21 associated with this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, thanks. That's clear. And I guess just last question, maybe just coming to Pokeno and some of your commentary there. Perhaps if you can just give us a little clarity then on how you're thinking about, filling some of that capacity. And previously, obviously, it was kind of centred on infant base for a period of time. I mean, what's changed now and, you know, what sort of categories should we be thinking about for that as it comes on stream and you're trying to, I guess, fill some of the capacity that's there?
Yeah, look, I think we continue to work on some really solid medium to long-term opportunities, which we're genuinely excited about. There's an element of the resource that we have available and I think what is the right decision to focus on building new and exciting long-term partnerships there. And we've had teams working on that and perhaps they've been less focused on near-term opportunities and helping it up. But look, I fundamentally believe it's really important as a growth business that we focus on building long-term diversified relationships there, and we'll continue to progress them. There's nothing material we can announce yet, but our customer pipeline remains strong and our teams are working hard on it.
Okay, I'll leave it there for now. Thanks, Nigel and Leon.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sam Teager with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Leon. Good morning, Nigel.
Hi, Sam.
Good, Sam.
Just wondering, what's the current lactoferrin price you're seeing in the spot market, and what month did you start to see this the price start to moderate?
It's an interesting question. Lactoferrin price, and I'll try to cover this as best I can, because lactoferrin pricing, as you know, is not something that's readily available in the market. There is no sort of price monitor on it. You can, look up on a website and say, oh, that's the current value of lactoferrin. So I'll be a little bit sort of reluctant to be specific, but other than to say that we did, in questioning last year, we said, well, what sort of spot pricing were you experiencing? And we said, well, look, it was getting as high as $2.5 million a tonne that we were experiencing on spot pricing through to the conclusion of last financial year. All I can say at the moment, and this is pretty indicative, is that that's virtually halved. very quickly in the first half. So that's the degree of change that we've seen in lactoferrin pricing, which, and look, I'll be fair to say that it's taken us a little bit by surprise that it's just dropped and softened that much so quickly.
And do you think that's a supply issue, or do you think that's somewhat due to demand?
Look, I don't think that,
it's both, Sam. I think we've seen in the market a shift in where that demand was, people reformulating and rethinking how they provide it. But obviously we talked, one of the reasons why we were cautious on this was that we knew more supply was coming on the market. So my guess is that it's both.
Right. And then I guess of all your lactoferrin production, what proportion would be contracted at fixed rates versus what proportion do you sell on the spot? Just trying to get a sense of the total production, what actually is exposed to this lower spot price.
What was signaled in the past regarding our production and sales of lactoferrin is that roughly half of our production is contracted with a specific customer at a particular price that we haven't disclosed, and that the other half is sold on the spot market. So if you're looking at total sales of roughly, 34 tonne, I think is the number that we've disclosed for the year, then about half of that is fixed and the other half is basically subject to spot pricing.
Got it. Thanks for clarifying that. And look, just final question. Look, yeah, finally, without disclosing the specifics, given appreciate there's a lot of commercial sensitivity around this, but can you just say maybe yes or no, does any part of this downgrade or outlook reflect lower margin from the 2018 or 2019 renegotiation of the A2 supply contract?
I'll answer the question there, and that, we're very consistent in our response here, which is that we don't talk to pricing associated with our relationship with any of our customers for that matter, let alone this one. But what I can say, and we have several, just for the benefit of all on the call, is that our margin return on infant this year, we did signal right from the get-go, was going to be lower. And that may, and the reason we quoted that or stated that was not because of our necessarily related to the pricing, but rather because of bringing on board the Pokeno site and the incremental overheads there that would be spread across our infant total infant production. So by definition, it would drive a higher cost of manufacture in the year until we got our overall volume of infant production up to absorb that. So that will result in lower margins this year, but not necessarily as a result of pricing negotiations, but rather increased manufacturing costs because of Pokeno.
Okay. Right. And thanks very much for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Nick Ma with Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Most of my questions have been asked already. In terms of the kind of startup costs of some of these facilities or the expected kind of track that you had over FY20 for kind of gross margin EBIT performance, has that kind of deteriorated since you last looked at it? And if so, why? Obviously, there's the kind of base infant powder thing, but, the difference between, IFB margins and ingredients margins might be, $300-$400 a tonne. Can you just talk through some more of those changes or what might be dragging on that?
Sorry, Nick, can you just repeat the question? You're talking about the mix between ingredients and IFB, is that?
No, I'm more interested in whether or not your kind of aggregate kind of startup costs or, gross margin or EBIT impacts from the new capacity at Pokeno and the liquid facility have got worse since you last forecasted or prior to guidance.
I see. No, our commissioning costs have been right in line. Our build costs and our expected operating costs for running those facilities have been right in line with what we expected. The difference is that we haven't got the revenue or margin coming in to support those investments as we expected. And like I say, the goal was, can we spend roughly over 24 months, $500 million on new assets to both grow and diversify the business and grow earnings at the same time. I think it would have been great if we could have achieved that. It looks unlikely because of the shifts that we're talking about. So, but actually the cost to run and build have broadly been in line. And like I said, I'm really pleased with the
facilities we've built and optimistic about the capability that they give us.
Cool. And then just around the business in general, like, you know, like two of the key things that you guys have is, you know, the quality of your facilities and also the scale, which is cost competitiveness. You know, how is this not providing you guys with more opportunity to, you know, acquire customers or maintain kind of customer relationships? And things like, you know, your lactoferrin manufacturing is supposed to be second to none. How is that not providing you more of a buffer through some of this volatility in terms of, you know, customer demand for the best kind of ingredient products?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that it hasn't done that yet, Nick. I think that in part both quality propositions and cost competitiveness means that it allows us to target longer term, higher volume, more sustainable positions and partnerships with customers, and they simply take longer to build. So I wouldn't have thought that, I suspect that we are still leveraging our position in that space. But as I say, some of those material, your agreements are yet to materialise.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Hugh Stirlingham with New Zealand Farmer Weekly. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, Leon.
Hi, Hugh.
Could I just ask whether anything that you've announced today has an implication for the farm gate milk price? And secondly, what's the status of the A2 production within the total milk supply, please?
Nothing today indicates any change in our farm gate milk price, which we've provided a recent announcement on. Again, those factors, Hugh, are linked to some of the external factors that we track and how we manage that side of our business with our farmers. And obviously, we continue to provide farmers with a regular update on our expectations there, and we'll continue to do so. So nothing really in this update that gives weight to that. In a broader context, I suspect that everybody is closely watching forthcoming GDT options and how that dynamic might play out, and potentially some coronavirus impacts around uncertainty in that sector, as we've seen with a lot of other commodities. But that's not unique to Synlait, and this update's about Synlait. Look, we don't, typically disclose the proportion of A2 within our milk pool or across that. So, we're just protecting the nature of our customer relationships there. We're talking broadly around the categories that we sell. So,
what we can say, though, is that there's been no impact on the level of A2 production or milk production on farm on our business. That was the nature of your question.
Yeah. So.
All right. Thank you for that. Just an explanation, too. What proportion of your lactoferrin production goes straight into the infant formula?
Therefore, for internal use. Obviously, that's right. I'm not sure if we've been specific about that, but it's in terms of the 34 tonnes, you might think maybe 10 to 15%.
Yep. Okay, then. Thank you.
Thanks, Hugh. Look, we've probably got time for one more question.
Great, thank you. Your next question comes from Ken Hunter with NBI. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Tim Hunter from NBR. Following on, I think Ari and Chelsea touched on this question, but I was wondering if you'd be more specific about the capacity usage of the Pukenool plant. You've just announced it's coming on stream, but can you give a more specific comment on, you know, how much that plant is being used in the current and next financial years?
Yeah, sure. We commissioned that plant in the pretty back end of last financial year, early this year. Commissioning's been on track as we came into the new season. The kind of phasing that we run through is we start commissioning on ingredients, we start making whole milk powder, then we go to skim milk powder, and then we start commissioning on those infant formula base sales that we talked about. We're at a point where we've gone through commissioning runs for IFB, so we're building the capacity capability for that. But naturally, at the moment, in this first half year, which is why we mentioned it and the impact on first half, it's broadly running as a commodity dryer, but it's built to be a much more higher cost infant dryer, and we're yet to leverage that capacity or capability. And as we said, looking forward to the second half, the reason that the guidance has been pulled back is because we see less ability to leverage the new IFB capability within Pōkeno for the remainder of the year because of the demand equation we talked about. But all things being equal, had we been on track for our previous guidance, we would have been expecting in the next half of this financial year to be leveraging that investment with IFB sales.
So do you expect it to run at full capacity next year, or what's the capacity usage likely to be of this, given it's obviously increasing your costs?
Yeah, look, we're yet to provide guidance clearly on FY21 and what our expectations are. Obviously, we're watching the sector with interest and managing our customer opportunities accordingly. And once we're able to disclose more, then we can provide a clearer guidance on 21.
Okay, thank you.
We do expect to be processing all the milk through that factory that we have collected within the milk pool. It's just the nature of how we process it, whether it's for a lower margin ingredient or a higher margin product.
All right,
that's
thank you.
For us. Yeah. Right, cool, thank you. Okay, well, I think we'll wrap things up there. We thank you all for attending this morning's call. I think in summary, we're naturally disappointed we won't be able to deliver a stronger result this year. We have put a lot down in terms of our new investments and had hoped that the shape of our recovery would be coming through on new opportunities. And they're yet to materialise. And so that hasn't been able to offset the cost that we've come in there. But look, I do remain really confident in our medium to long term progress and expect that that we continue to remain confident about the business going forward. So Nigel and I will be available this afternoon to take extra calls if there's any follow-ups. But request that you come back to Hannah in the first instance on that just so that we can set that up and manage it this afternoon. And we look forward to a fuller discussion on Tuesday, March the 19th, when we go for our roadshow through March. Thank you.